Chapter 30. The sweat of an honest man's brow. Mr. Mortimer Lightwood and Mr. Eugene Rayburn took a coffee house dinner together in Mr. Lightwood's office. They had newly agreed to set up a joint establishment together. They had taken a bachelor cottage near Hampton, on the brink of the Thames, with a lawn, and a boathouse, and all things fitting, and were to float with the stream through the summer and the long vacation. It was not summer yet, but spring, and it was not gentle spring ethereally mild, as in Thomson's Seasons, but nipping spring with an easterly wind, as in Johnson's, Jackson's, Dixon's, Smith's, and Jones' Seasons. The grating wind sawed rather than blew, and as it sawed, the sawdust whirled about the sawpit. Every street was a sawpit, and there were no top sawyers. Every passenger was an undersawyer, with the sawdust blinding him and choking him. That mysterious paper currency which circulates in London when the wind blows, gyrated here and there and everywhere. Whence can it come, whither can it go? It hangs on every bush, flutters in every tree, is caught flying by the electric wires, haunts every enclosure, drinks at every pump, cowers at every grating, shudders upon every plot of grass, seeks rest in vain behind the legions of iron rails. In Paris, where nothing is wasted, costly and luxurious city though it be, but where wonderful human ants creep out of holes and pick up every scrap, there is no such thing. There, it blows nothing but dust. There, sharp eyes and sharp stomachs reap even the east wind, and get something out of it. The wind sawed, and the sawdust whirled. The shrubs wrung their many hands, bemoaning that they had been over-persuaded by the sun to bud. The young leaves pined. The sparrows repented of their early marriages, like men and women. The colors of the rainbow were discernible, not in floral spring, but in the faces of the people whom it nibbled and pinched. And ever the wind sawed, and the sawdust whirled. When the spring evenings are too long, and light too shut out, and such weather is rife, the city which Mr. Podsnap so explanatorily called London, Launders, London, is at its worst. Such a black shrill city, combining the qualities of a smoky house and a scolding wife. Such a gritty city, such a hopeless city, with no rent in the leaden canopy of its sky. Such a beleaguered city, invested by the great marsh forces of Essex and Kent. So the two old schoolfellows felt it to be, as, their dinner done, they turned towards the fire to smoke. Young Blight was gone, the coffee house waiter was gone, the plates and dishes were gone, the wine was going, but not in the same direction. The wind sounds up here, apostrophe quoth Eugene, stirring the fire, as if we were keeping a lighthouse. I wish we were. Apostrophe, don't you think it would bore us? Apostrophe, Lightwood asked. Not more than any other place. And there would be no circuit to go. But that's a selfish consideration, personal to me. Apostrophe, and no clients to come, apostrophe added Lightwood. Not that that's a selfish consideration at all personal to me. Apostrophe, if we were on an isolated rock in a stormy sea, apostrophe said Eugene, smoking with his eyes on the fire, Lady Tippins couldn't put off to visit us, or, better still, might put off and get swamped. People couldn't ask one to wedding breakfasts. There would be no precedents to hammer at, except the plain sailing precedent of keeping the light up. It would be exciting to look out for wrecks. Apostrophe, but otherwise, apostrophe suggested Lightwood, there might be a degree of sameness in the life. Apostrophe, I have thought of that also, apostrophe said Eugene, as if he really had been considering the subject in its various bearings with an eye to the business. But it would be a defined and limited monotony. It would not extend beyond two people. Now, it's a question with me, Mortimer, whether a monotony defined with that precision and limited to that extent might not be more endurable than the unlimited monotony of one's fellow creatures. Apostrophe, as Lightwood laughed, and passed the wine, he remarked, we shall have an opportunity, in our boating summer, of trying the question. Apostrophe, an imperfect one, apostrophe Eugene acquiesced, with a sigh, but so we shall. I hope we may not prove too much for one another. Apostrophe, now, regarding your respected father, apostrophe said Lightwood, bringing him to a subject they had expressly appointed to discuss. Always the most slippery eel of eels of subjects to lay hold of. Yes, regarding my respected father, apostrophe assented Eugene, settling himself in his armchair. I would rather have approached my respected father by candlelight, as a theme requiring a little artificial brilliance I, but we will take him by twilight, enlivened with a glow of Walsand. Apostrophe, he stirred the fire again as he spoke, and having made it blaze, resumed. My respected father has found, down in the parental neighborhood, a wife for his not generally respected son. Apostrophe, with some money, of course. Apostrophe, with some money, of course, or he would not have found her. My respected father let me shorten the dutiful tautology by substituting in future MRF, which sounds military, and rather like the Duke of Wellington. Apostrophe, what an absurd fellow you are, Eugene. Apostrophe, not at all, I assure you. MRF, having always in the clearest manner provided, as he calls it, for his children by prearranging from the hour of the birth of each, and sometimes from an earlier period, what the devoted little victim's calling and course in life should be, MRF prearranged for myself, that I was to be the barrister I am with the slight addition of an enormous practice, which has not accrued, and also the married man I am not. Apostrophe, the first you have often told me. Apostrophe, the first I have often told you. Considering myself sufficiently incongruous on my legal eminence, I have until now suppressed my domestic destiny. You know M. R. F., but not as well as I do. If you knew him as well as I do, he would amuse you. Apostrophe, filially spoken, Eugene. Apostrophe, perfectly so, believe me, and with every sentiment of affectionate deference towards M.R.F. But if he amuses me, I can't help it. When my eldest brother was born, of course the rest of us knew, the rest of us would have known, if we had been in existence, that he was heir to the family embarrassments we call it before the company the family estate. But when my second brother was going to be born by and by, this, says M.R.F., is a little pillar of the church. Was born, and became a pillar of the church, a very shaky one. My third brother appeared, considerably in advance of his engagement to my mother, but M.R.F., not at all put out by surprise, instantly declared him a circumnavigator. Was pitchforked into the Navy, but is not circumnavigated. I announced myself, and was disposed of with the highly satisfactory results embodied before you. When my younger brother was half an hour old, it was settled by M.R.F. that he should have a mechanical genius. And so on. Therefore I say that M.R.F. amuses me. Apostrophe, touching the lady, Eugene. Apostrophe, there M.R.F. ceases to be amusing, because my intentions are opposed to touching the lady. Apostrophe, do you know her? Apostrophe, not in the least. Apostrophe, hadn't you better see her? Apostrophe, my dear Mortimer, you have studied my character. Could I possibly go down there, labeled eligible? On view, and meet the lady, similarly labeled? Anything to carry out M. R. F.'s arrangements, I am sure, with the greatest pleasure except matrimony. Could I possibly support it? I, so soon bored, so constantly, so fatally? Apostrophe, but you are not a consistent fellow, Eugene. Apostrophe, insusceptibility to boredom, apostrophe returned that worthy, I assure you I am the most consistent of mankind. Apostrophe, why, it was but now that you were dwelling in the advantages of a monotony of two. Apostrophe, in a lighthouse. Do me the justice to remember the condition. In the lighthouse. apostrophe, Mortimer left again, and Eugene, having left too for the first time, as if he found himself on reflection rather entertaining, relapsed into his usual gloom, and drowsily said, as he enjoyed his cigar, "No, there is no help for it. One of the prophetic deliveries of M.R. F. must forever remain unfulfilled. With every disposition to oblige him, he must submit to a failure." Apostrophe, it had grown darker as they talked, and the wind was sawing, and the sawdust was whirling outside paler windows. The underlying churchyard was already settling into deep dim shade, and the shade was creeping up to the housetops among which they sat. "As if," apostrophe said Eugene, "as if the churchyard ghosts were rising." Apostrophe, he had walked to the window with his cigar in his mouth, to exalt its flavor, by comparing the fireside with the outside, when he stopped midway on his return to his armchair, and said, "Apparently one of the ghosts has lost its way, and dropped in to be directed. Look at this phantom." Apostrophe, Lightwood, whose back was towards the door, turned his head, and there, in the darkness of the entry, stood a something in the likeness of a man, to whom he addressed the not irrelevant inquiry, "Who the devil are you?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, "I ask your pardons, governors," apostrophe replied the ghost, in a hoarse double-barreled whisper, "but might either on you be Lawyer Lightwood?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, "What do you mean by not knocking at the door?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, demanded Mortimer. "I ask your pardons, governors," apostrophe replied the ghost, "as before, but probably you was not aware your door stood open." Apostrophe, "What do you want?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, hereunto the ghost again hoarsely replied, in its double-barreled manner, "I ask your pardons, governors, but might one on you be Lawyer Lightwood?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, "One of us is," apostrophe said the owner of that name. "All right, governors both," apostrophe returned the ghost, carefully closing the room door, "tickler business." Apostrophe, Mortimer lighted the candles. They showed the visitor, to be an ill-looking visitor with a squinting leer, who, as he spoke, fumbled at an old sodden fur cap, formless and mangy, that looked like a furry animal, dog or cat, puppy or kitten, drowned and decaying. "Now," apostrophe said Mortimer, "what is it?" Apostrophe, governors both, apostrophe returned the man, in what he meant to be a wheedling tone, "which on you might be Lawyer Lightwood?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, "I am." Apostrophe, Lawyer Lightwood, apostrophe ducking at him with a servile air, "I am a man as gets my living, and as seeks to get my living, by the sweat of my brow. Not to risk, being done out of the sweat of my brow, by any chances, I should wish afore going further to be sworn." Apostrophe, "I am not a swearer in of people, man." Apostrophe, the visitor, clearly anything but reliant on this assurance, doggedly muttered Alfred David. Apostrophe, "Is that your name?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, asked Lightwood. "My name?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, returned the man. "No, I want to take a Alfred David." Apostrophe, which Eugene, smoking, and contemplating him, interpreted as meaning affidavit. "I tell you, my good fellow," apostrophe said Lightwood, with his indolent laugh, "that I have nothing to do with swearing." Apostrophe, "He can swear at you," apostrophe Eugene explained, "and so can one. But we can't do more for you." Apostrophe, much discomfited by this information, the visitor turned the drowned dog or cat, puppy or kitten, about, and looked from one of the governors both to the other of the governors both, while he deeply considered within himself. At length he decided, "Then I must be took down." Apostrophe, "Where?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, asked Lightwood. "Here," apostrophe said the man, "in pen and ink." Apostrophe, "First, let us know what your business is about." Apostrophe, "It's about," apostrophe said the man, taking a step forward, dropping his hoarse voice, and shading it with his hand, "it's about from £5,000 to £10,000 reward. That's what it's about. It's about murder. That's what it's about." Apostrophe, "Come nearer the table." Sit down. Will you have a glass of wine? Apostrophe, yes, I will, apostrophe said the man, and I don't deceive you, governors. Apostrophe, it was given him. Making a stiff arm to the elbow, he poured the wine into his mouth, tilted it into his right cheek, as saying, what do you think of it? Apostrophe, apostrophe tilted it into his left cheek, as saying, what do you think of it? Apostrophe, apostrophe jerked it into his stomach, as saying, what do you think of it? Apostrophe, apostrophe to conclude, smacked his lips, as if all three replied, we think well of it. Apostrophe, will you have another? Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes, I will, apostrophe he repeated, and I don't deceive you, governors. Apostrophe and also repeated the other proceedings. Now, apostrophe began Lightwood, what's your name? Apostrophe, why, there you're rather fast, lawyer Lightwood, apostrophe he replied, in a remonstrant manner. Don't you see, lawyer Lightwood? There you're a little bit fast. I'm going to earn from 5 to 10,000 pounds by the sweat of my brow, and as a poor man doing justice to the sweat of my brow, is it likely I can afford to part with so much as my name without its being took down? Apostrophe, apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.